Let's just come before our great God in prayer as we come to his word. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are a speaking God. Thank you that you have spoken in your word. And we pray that you would give us ears to hear your word this morning. Give us soft hearts to submit to it, what it has to say, and help us to trust more confidently in life and in death in the Lord Jesus. We pray for in his name. Amen. Well, I wonder if you know what these people have got in common. Muhammad Ali, David Bowie, Victoria Wood, Caroline Ahern, Prince, Paul Daniels, and Alan Rickman. They're all dead, and they all died in the same year, 2016. If you ever get a pub quiz question, in which year did this celebrity die? If you don't know the answer, 2016 is a pretty good guess. It was a year when the British public, who, if we're honest, we don't often like speaking about death, it's a bit of a taboo. It's a year when we were uncomfortably confronted with the reality of death, as every week the main news story was someone else has died. And this morning we're going to be thinking about what it means for us to trust Jesus in the face of death. And as we look at this passage that's just been read and the verses that follow, I want us just to think about two very simple things this morning. And they are Jesus' power over humanly hopeless situations and our response to Jesus in humanly hopeless situations. So firstly, we're going to think about Jesus' power over humanly hopeless situations. In the verses before our reading, Jesus has just been helping two other people who, humanly speaking, were hopeless, were desperate. He had firstly been with his disciples in a boat in a terrible storm on the lake, and even though they were hardened fishermen, they were fearing for their lives. And Jesus, as we sang about in our children's song, just calmed the storm, commanded the wind and waves be still, and they were. And then, just before our passage, he's driven demons out of a demon-possessed man who had tried everything himself but could do nothing. Humanly, he was hopeless, and Jesus helped him. And then in today's story, we meet two main characters. The first one, we're told his name is Jairus. If you look down at verse 22, you can see it. He was a synagogue leader and no doubt would have enjoyed a certain status in society. And as Jesus he's just come back from a boat trip, as he gets out of the boat on the shore, in verse 21, he is mobbed by a crowd. But before Jesus can open his mouth, Jairus bursts breathlessly onto the scene. Did you see that in verse 22? One of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and he pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jairus is a powerful man, but he's helpless. He's hopeless. His daughter is on her deathbed. And so he throws himself at the feet of Jesus and he pleads earnestly. Please come, he says. Can you feel the emotion that would have been coursing through his body? Any parent would be the same, wouldn't they? Willing to go anywhere to find anyone who could do anything to help their dying child. And so imagine Jairus' relief when, verse 24, Jesus agrees to go with him. They set off to Jairus' house, but as they go on their way, we meet another woman. A woman who, we don't know her name, she's not well known or influential. She's just a face in the crowd. We don't know her name. But she too is helpless. She's been subjected to constant bleeding for 12 years. Verse 26 is a very moving picture of her ordeal. Have a look. It says, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and had spent all that she had, and yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. One short sentence, 12 long years of distress. She'd used all her money, seen every doctor in town, and she just got worse. My younger brother had severe eczema for a number of years, and I can remember when we were growing up watching him go with my parents to doctor after doctor, to have test after test, to have treatment after treatment, and they were all hopeless to do anything. It was very painful to watch. But actually, the worst thing about this woman's illness in Jewish society, anybody suffering a discharge of blood was regarded as unclean. And that meant exclusion. Jairus was the leader of the synagogue. This unclean woman wouldn't have even been allowed in. She couldn't eat with others. She wouldn't even be able to be touched by others. Imagine that, 12 years since her last hug. We're told at the end of the story that Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. Well, so for every year of that girl's life, this woman has been unclean and subject to this illness. And so what does she do? Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Humanly speaking, she is helpless, desperate. But what happens next is simply extraordinary. Did you notice it as Tessa read it for us? Verse 29. Immediately, the moment she touched Jesus, immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Do you see the totally astonishing power of the Lord Jesus? A simple touch of Jesus' cloak had done what Galilee's finest physicians couldn't do in 12 long years. What elation she must have felt. The moment that she'd been dreaming of for 12 years has come true in an instant. And Jesus knows something has happened. So he stops, he looks round, and he very pointedly asks, "Who touched me?" And Jesus waits. And he waits. And perhaps you can picture Jairus at this point, looking at his watch, looking at the clock, thinking, Jesus, my daughter is dying, and we're kind of on our way to that, aren't we? I imagine he's got that feeling you might get when you're in a monster traffic jam and you really need to get to that appointment on time. And you're saying to someone, "Don't let him in. No, try the other lane. Oh, come on, don't let him in. Let's get on with it." Do you know that feeling? Well, that's probably what Jairus would have been thinking. Well, eventually the woman steps forward. She too falls at Jesus' feet, shaking, trembling with fear. And she tells the whole truth. Why is she so nervous? We might wonder. Well, I think she's probably just realised that Jesus is no ordinary man. She's realised that Jesus has done what only God can do, as he heals her in an instant. She's seen firsthand Jesus' extraordinary power over a humanly hopeless situation. And as well as seeing the power of God, do you see the character of the Lord Jesus in this story? Just worth noticing that in passing. He doesn't behave like a vain celebrity. "Woman, how dare you touch me?" He doesn't say, "Don't you know who I am?" He doesn't say, "Don't you know you're unclean?" Maybe we sometimes assume that Jesus wouldn't have time for a nobody like us. Maybe we think, maybe for a Jairus he'd have time, but for us, for somebody like me, an ordinary person, would he really have time? Well, that is nonsense, isn't it? Jesus has time for us. Even just a face in the crowd, an unknown woman, he has time and care for everyone. And look at the tender words he speaks to her in verse 34. He says, "Daughter, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And I'm sure she smiled all the way home. But verse 35, that last verse we had read, comes as a bit of a jolt, doesn't it? While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Verse 34, Jesus says, "Daughter, you are healed." Verse 35, "Jairus, your daughter is dead." So a question for you to chew on over your Sunday lunch. How easy Would it have been for Jairus in this situation to trust in Jesus? I wonder what you think about that. Has Jesus not made a mistake? Should he have gone on that time management course after all? He'd agreed to go to Jairus' house. He knew how sick his daughter was, and yet he stopped. Not only to heal her, but to have a natter afterwards as well. Imagine if you went down the roads. We live just around the corner from the Worcestershire Royal. Imagine if you walked into A&E there later on today and you saw the doctors leave the patient who was having a heart attack and blacking out, and they went down the corridor and did a routine hip replacement. And then after that, they decided to have an extra long tea break as well. Be a crazy scene, wouldn't it? Or who knows what Jairus was thinking. Perhaps, couldn't she have waited, Jesus? I mean, she'd been ill for 12 years. Couldn't you have waited a few hours? My daughter was dying. She needed you. You said you'd come, and you didn't show up in time. And let's just pause there for a second, because for some of us, that may be a painful reminder of when you feel like Jesus didn't come through for you. Maybe a close relative was ill. Maybe a car crash. Maybe you're on the brink of bankruptcy, problems in a relationship. You cried out to God. You earnestly pleaded. Hey, you fell down on your knees. You prayed to Jesus. And you know what? You feel like he didn't come through for you. Like he didn't even care. Well, what happens next shows that Jesus really does care. He was there for Jairus in this helpless situation. Jesus is not powerless to help. He tells Jairus, even after he's received this terrible news in verse 35, he says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. I wonder how you'd have reacted to those words of Jesus. He's inviting Jairus to have the same kind of faith the woman had. And having seen this miracle in front of his own eyes, Jairus, I guess he's got more grounds for faith in a way. And yet he knows that his daughter is dead. How could Jesus possibly help now? There's a change of scene in verse 38 as Jesus and his disciples, the few that he takes with him, arrive at Jairus' home. And there's quite a scene going on, isn't there? When they came to the house of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. It's a tragic scene, isn't it? A community, a family in mourning for a 12-year-old girl that's died. And there is zero doubt that she has died. That crowd that are mourning, they are, if you excuse the pun, they are a dead giveaway. And that makes Jesus' comment in verse 39 all the more intriguing. The child is not dead, but asleep. He's laughed at, he's mocked for even suggesting the possibility in verse 40 that anything could be done to help her. And yet, in verse 40, the story is not over. Read on with me. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Again, do you see Jesus' gentleness, taking her by the hand, saying, little girl, I say to you, get up? And do you see his power over this humanly hopeless situation? With just a word, with just an offering of the hand, this child is risen from the dead. That's George. I mean, healing a chronic disease is one thing, but raising a child who has died, that's breathtaking, isn't it? No wonder the witnesses were astonished. Well, in these final few minutes, I just want to take a step back and reflect on this encounter of Jesus with these two hopeless individuals and see what it has to teach us here in Stourport in 2018. I don't know who you think Jesus is, but if there's just one thing I want you to notice today, it's that Jesus has power over humanly hopeless situations, even death itself. Just think back to verse 26. This woman had spent all that she had on many doctors and had grown worse. She was utterly helpless. Verse 35, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Utterly helpless, humanly speaking. And yet Jesus has real power over these humanly hopeless situations. Woody Allen once quipped, I'm not afraid of dying. I just don't want to be there when it happens. You see, death is something we don't really like to think about. It's not something we like to talk about, but we can't just sweep it under the carpet. Death is a reality for all of us, however much we ignore it or sterilize it. Death is a shadow that looms over all of us. And by healing Jairus' daughter, Jesus leaves those witnesses in Galilee and us who are reading this story here today in no doubt that he is in complete control over death. Little girl, get up. And she did. And of course, if you've read to the end of Mark's Gospel, you all know how the story ends, with Jesus' own victory over death. 3 days after he died on the cross for our sins, he rose up from the grave. Jesus has been through death and come out the other side, so that we know with confidence that he has power over it. And his own resurrection, his raising of Jairus' daughter, they're not magic tricks. They're not conjuring tricks. It's not Paul Daniels or David Blaine. His words to the crowd at Jairus' house, the child is not dead but asleep, mean more than we might think. Make no mistake, the child was dead. But Jesus is saying such is his power over death that it is only temporary. The Bible describes Christians who die before Jesus returns as asleep, because that's how temporary death is. We will rise again and be with Jesus. And so death is not the end. One day all of us will come face to face with the Lord Jesus, and we'll have to give an account for how we've, all those times we've railed against God, all those times we've rejected him, ignored him. And the person who separates themselves from God will get what they want. They will be separated from God with none of the good things of this life. It is a fate worse than death. But actually, for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, death is something we need not fear. Jesus says to Jairus, do not fear, only believe. And for those of us that trust the Lord Jesus, we don't need to fear death, because we know eternal relationship with God in a perfect place, in a perfect world, is what follows. And the way this story unfolds at the end, it teaches something about the nature of faith. These two people, Jairus and the woman, they were hopeless, powerless, desperate. Jairus' circumstances were screaming at him not to trust in Jesus. And yet, as Christians, we do not need to fear death, not because we pretend it won't happen, not because we think we've been good enough for God in our lifetime, but because Jesus promises that all who fall at his feet have been spared eternal death and hell simply by trusting in Jesus. And as we look at Jairus' daughter, as we look at Jesus rising from the dead, we can have confidence in our own resurrection with the Lord Jesus. Jesus has power over the most hopeless situation, even death itself. And so I think that leaves us here with a real decision. And I think there are three ways from this story that we could react to the Lord Jesus this morning. Firstly, we could be like those crowds who were at the home of the little girl. We can mock Jesus. We can dismiss Jesus. We can ignore him simply because his claims jar with our experience of reality. Maybe that's your temptation. After all, life is busy, isn't it? But if that's your temptation, can I plead with you earnestly to take a closer look, to investigate how it can be that Jesus has power over death, how it can be that we can live our life not in fear of the day we die, and discover the joys that there are for the Christian beyond the grave. One day death will come for us, perhaps sooner than we expect, and it will be too late. So take a closer look at the Lord Jesus today. Or secondly, maybe some of us might react like Jairus' friends in verse 35. Your daughter is dead. Let's not bother the teacher anymore. Perhaps in the past, you hoped Jesus could help you out, but he didn't come through for you when you really needed. You prayed and he delayed. And for whatever reason, maybe now you're tempted to giving up. Maybe you're tempted not to even want to hear Jesus out anymore. And to you, I want to say, take another look. Take a moment to reflect on the fact that Jesus has power over death, over your death, over my death. And he never, ever wants to hear anyone say, let's not bother the teacher anymore. Jesus has time for you. Do you have time for him today? Whatever situation you're in, whatever is keeping you awake at night, please hear me when I say, nothing and no one is too helpless or hopeless for the Lord Jesus. But thirdly and finally, do you see in this story the right way to respond to the Lord Jesus? The man Jairus, with all that worldly power, he realizes the right thing to do, like the woman, is to fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus, to admit our helplessness and put our trust in Jesus' power. Maybe today, Jesus has shown you that you need to fall at your feet and trust him with your life and your death. Christianity is the good news of what Jesus has done for people who are willing to admit on their own they're helpless and hopeless. And so for those of us who've already fallen at Jesus' feet, will you delight in this good news this morning that we can trust Jesus in the face of death? We've got a decision this morning, don't we? Will we mock Jesus? Will we decide not to bother the teacher anymore? Or will we decide to fall at his feet and trust him and worship him with our life and with our death? Let me pray that we would do that this morning. Heavenly Father, we admit that on our own we are helpless and hopeless in this world. But thank you for this story which shows Jesus' extraordinary power in humanly hopeless situations. And so, Father, this morning we fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the forgiveness he gives to all who call on him. And thank you for the assurance we can have of eternal life with him through his death for us, through his resurrection. And pray that you would help us to trust confidently in the Lord Jesus, whatever circumstances we find ourselves in today. Would you give us that confident and deep-seated trust in the Lord Jesus as our Lord and King? We pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's